The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Reality NSFW deep dive coverage of Survivor Season 41, Episode 3.
Yep.
Is that correct? Yeah. Oh man, I'm so rusty. I was in Louisville for the premiere. I was at Guns N' Roses for Episode 2, Episode 3 in Durham, North Carolina at the Dirty Bowl. This is my first actual conversation to any extended degree about season 41 of Survivor. I know there's a lot of questions. I know there's a lot of people with comments, and they're ready for my comments. They're ready for my hot takes, and I'm here for them, but I'm not alone. I'm joined by Alex Rubino, Lauren Pratt, and I, of course, am Johnny Fairplay with my first real thoughts on season 41.
It's about time that we have you talking about Survivor. It's great to have you here. Thank you so much for coming. And Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to talk about this episode. I know some people are a little low on the season so far. I am not. I'm enjoying it. So, Johnny, what are your initial takes on everything?
It's a mixed bag for me. I feel this cast is amazing. I mean, it's an absolute home run. And Matt Bischoff and I, we're doing coverage of 2018's Australian Survivor, in which the cast on paper didn't look that dynamic compared to 2017. But, you know, once the merge happened, we're just seeing just gameplay, conversations. And this is all done with a budget of $8 for every challenge. No advantages, no bewares, none of these things. And I think the same thing could be taking place here in America in 2021. I don't need the bewares. I don't need there's so much time dedicated to this little stuff that it occupies so much of the space that is 41. And I don't understand how they couldn't just look at the piece of paper with all these beautiful faces and all these dynamic personalities and all these people that love the game of Survivor, that if put on an island with 39 or 26 days, couldn't give you amazing television. And I feel that they could have. And you know, is some of the stuff going to work out for cool moments and some gotcha stuff? Yeah, I mean, let's talk Brad.
Can we please?
Brad. Brad is, and I'm not being mean, and feel free to take it that way. I don't care because I'm telling you I'm not. Brad's a weird looking dude. Okay. However, if I'm in casting and I see Brad face to face, he's probably the first person I cast on this show. Just for he's a unique looking person. His mannerisms and expressions are unique, and they're so cool. Like as I said, just different. I like different. You know, there's always that weird dude that we all know. That's Brad. I can relate to Brad. Like, you know, not personally, but I know a Brad. You know, and I would have liked to have seen my Brad on Survivor, and so we saw him there, and I just wish I wish we had more Brad.
I really agree with you. I was expecting nothing of him going in. I was like, all right, he's the, with all due respect, one of like the resident older people on this tribe.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see how he fits in. Oh, we got the first person from Wyoming. Great. What else? Got nothing. Great. And then these first three episodes, he was a firecracker. He was so much fun to watch. And my God, I've ripped him for his gameplay the first two episodes. And it was even worse this episode. It's just bad, bad, bad. But I'm still so sad he's gone. He just gave me everything I wanted in a character that goes out early. He's like, you say write up a pre-merge boot, I'm either writing Natalie Cole or I'm writing up Brad.
Yeah.
He's so much fun. So much fun.
So, but I JD, I mean, like, every second of JD, my daughter's like, JD is the best. How can you not love JD, Dad? And I'm just like, well, he's a horrible player. However, I want JD on my TV. I want JD on my TV for as long as possible. Is he a horrible player? Yes. But at the same time, he's not that horrible in that, you know, when he gets caught with the advantage down his pants, you know, he's just like, yeah, it sucks I got caught. He goes, but the rules of Survivor are you don't tell. And he's right. That is the rule. Like, every single person here has loose lips. Everyone, especially Brad.
That's why if you're going to carry the advantage around you, make sure it's in your pants far enough. Put it in a pocket. Put it somewhere. Like, that is just, rookie mistake 101.
Yeah, I didn't understand why you would have, like...
Why are you holding on to it anyway, like, at this point? You're not going to tribal right away.
But why would you put it, like... I mean, he looks like a... Jay from Millennials versus Gen X is like Instagram. It's just like, why are you walking around like that anyway? You know, like it's Survivor. You're trying to keep. We're what, day
seven?
Seven.
That was day seven.
You haven't lost enough weight that, you know, I don't need to see your Jay Instagram pic every day. You know, just you know, fold your pants over and you know have that waistline where it should be on day seven. And, you know, and, you know, hopefully you're there day 22 and, you know, and then, you know, post that pic to your Instagram. You'd be like, hey, here's my Jay starter kit.
I have to agree with you. I mean, honestly, this cast is one of the best casts we've seen in a very, very long time.
Demorse Goliath is the best cast since, prior to this and the best cast, you know, since probably, you know, 31.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it's a great cast, and I'm really excited. The only thing is, I get sad weekly with someone going home because I like so many of these people. There's not someone on this cast where I'm like, oh, I could see them go, like, that's fine. And it's, I mean, maybe someone from Luvu, and that's because we don't know much about them. And that goes back to we're seeing so much time taken away looking at the advantages, who found what. And I do think one thing they did take for this season from Australian Survivor was giving us flashbacks into people's lives. So I appreciate them bringing that element into the picture, but I do agree. I wish we got a little bit more camp life and got to see actually the personal development and relationships.
Yeah. I mean, we said going into the season on the cast assessment stuff that the first four episodes will probably be dominated by the Yellow Tribe because on paper, they're a shit show. They are. the guess was correct. You know, and I think they were purposely placed together to be a shit show. You know, I don't think that was happenstance, you know. But as a result, you know, we are not, you know, we're seeing very the stuff we are seeing from like the Blue Tribe, I love, but you know, we're not seeing a ton of it because we have to spend time, you know, walking up the mountain or getting on the boat at night. And as I said, it gave us that, you know, like Brad gave us the cool moment with the scarecrow Brad. But otherwise, I mean, all we really learned from that whole debacle is, you know, Tiffany's not a good player.
All right. Yeah. All right. So I want to stop right down there real quick. Lauren, you said right at the beginning that you're loving the season and all that. And I don't want to say I feel the opposite, but I want to love this season and I just can't because I feel like like you both have said, this cast is unbelievable. And I'm just getting so frustrated with every, this is feeling like a game of just who has what. And this is like playing scavenger hunt at this point. Like I want that. I can go outside and just do my own scavenger hunt. of who has this.
Is it really a scavenger hunt when the items are placed by your foot?
Yeah,
it's an easy scavenger hunt.
I mean, I feel like it's Easter with my 4-year old.
Yeah, okay, that's a better way to put it. But it's like still like they're on a. I guess you're on a. Hunt.
Hey, there's an egg right there.
Find it.
But I appreciate what they did, though, in the essence of making it so Brad could find it because we got more Brad out of it. So yeah, that part was great because I think it was planted for him to find because everyone else was nowhere near it. I mean, we don't know when they plant these, obviously, but it was for Brad to find, in my opinion.
Well, early riser Brad, the last one to get up.
Yeah.
Early bird gets the worm if you're the last person to get up.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking about this. I like was kind of when I was rewatching the episode before the immunity challenge, you wonder how many minutes I counted of like actual a little bit of strategy that wasn't related to an advantage, that wasn't just people finding things? Like about a minute or two.
Sure.
Two minutes of the first half of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, like as this cat, like
come on,
like, let's talk about the little people that like that are get like a genie as literally gotten seconds of airtime in three episodes.
Yep,
you know, and Matt, as if you listen to or you know our post show coverage with the recap with Alex Trias and Matt the Beard Bischoff, you know, Matt doesn't like genie. I like genie. I mean, I think genie's a poor sport. I like that. I'm a poor sport. I can relate. I love the very overly emoting. Yes. No. Like, you know, when Brad's like, remember, he said those words. She goes, yeah. Like, oh, like genie. I'm just like, did you just steal a little piece of my heart? Because you got it, girl. But I would rather, I mean, I get, you know, we did get that moment in Brad finding the, you know, one third of the immunity. That's it. I'm okay. Like I'm anti any advantage. Like I think if your cast is this good, you don't need anything. And if you yes. want to do one immunity idol per tribe, I can live with it. I don't like it, but I can live with it.
And then just have nothing re-hit, and once it gets played, it's just done.
That's it. I mean, as I said, I get it when you need it. I mean, like if you have season what's Hustlers Heroes
35.
Yep.
I mean, that season needed some help. I get it. You know, Ghost Island needed some help. So you got some good. You have a few good people, but the cast as a whole not spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, season 38 or Ghost Island for me was handicapped in the fact that I felt like the entire season was built on the showdown of Dom versus Chris Noble, and we never got it. I mean, it was, you know, that we finally got the chance, and then it was, you know, and it was like a like you have the you go for the big fireworks display, and they're building up and building up, and then it's like a Roman candle at the end. Like, oh, all right, well, I guess that's our finale.
Because they made it seem like it was going to be some type of epic showdown towards the end of the game, and it absolutely was not the case.
Yeah, right. It was just like, we're getting rid of Chris Noble.
Right. Are you guys cool talking about the advantage that doesn't have a name? I'm just calling it the boat advantage for now. Tiffany, Brad, and Sydney find it. None of them really read the envelope. They just are like, ooh, advantage, I open. Tiffany like gave it a half an ounce of thought. Brad didn't even read the envelope, I know, and Sydney didn't really read it either and was like, ah, crap. But they have to get on a boat in the middle of the night in secret, supposedly, and go to this island, and if they don't, they lose their vote. Before we get into like the semantics of what they had to do, what did you guys think of the whole sneak away from camp thing?
I don't think it's that difficult to sneak away from camp. So especially in like I could not imagine sleeping on the beach. I mean, and that's what people like, apparently just the conditions of Fiji are so much kinder than so many other locations in the past. Like in Pearl Islands, if you didn't have your bamboo you know, a foot off the ground with the breeze from the ocean blowing away the mosquitoes, you would just be destroyed by not only the mosquitoes, but the sand fleas would just make your life completely miserable. And we've seen, you know, just year after year now, they just sleep on the beach. So I think with that, you know, at any time, you know, you can sleep wherever on the beach and it's not a big deal. So, you know, if Brad sleeps to himself just a little bit, he can sleep to himself just a little bit more. And that's, you know, it's not really just this glaring thing. Where's Brad?
I agree. It didn't seem like it was that difficult for them to get on the boat. But I do want to point out with Sydney, she was very bold to go pick that up because she picked it up in front of people. She saw it and didn't want anyone else to get it. So I think that was bold on her part. Tiffany, we still got the confessional from her. Like, mind you, if I was not around other people, I wouldn't have told them. So I think Tiffany had...
Is real easy to say that you wouldn't when you did. I mean, like, you know, JD explained, like, I wasn't going to tell you because that's the rule.
But we didn't see how close Evie was, though. That's my only thing. Evie could have been in, like, feet of Tiffany finding that. That's the only thing we don't know.
I do genuinely think Tiffany would have at least tried to not tell anybody.
Maybe.
But if she could have. I think she might have eventually, but I do think she would have had the like dilemma in her head. Do I, don't I? Maybe she does.
And for the record, you know, do I think Tiffany's a horrible player? Yes. Would I have cast her? Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right. So the three of them get to, I don't even know whatever island this is.
The edge of extinction. The edge of extinction with the sugar shack.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, probably right. All right, so they get to the...
This is Ghost Island. All our relics have come back to...
Yes. They get to Ghost Island number 50 at this point. And they have a true prisoner's dilemma this time, where if all three of them choose to steal their vote, they all lose their vote. If they split, those who chose steal a vote get a steal a vote advantage. Those who chose tarp get nothing. And if all three of them pick tarp, they all get a tarp.
I have a question. How is it that so many people know what a prisoner's dilemma is?
I mean, I've learned it in like high school and college classes, like economics classes. We talk about that stuff. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, how'd you learn about it?
I just have heard about it. I mean, it's common for me, but I get it. I don't think if someone didn't know what that was, they would just be looking like, what is happening?
I guess, but I feel like it's also like, if you ever look at like puzzles or logical puzzles, that's usually one of the first ones you get.
Yeah, I've never heard that phrase before, the premiere of Survivor. and then they're all like, you know, and I fashion myself a pretty smart fella. And then like, you know, there's like eight people. They're like, oh, it's the prisoner's dilemma. And I was just like, oh, wow, there's eight people on this cast that are apparently smarter than me.
I've just heard about it. That's how I knew.
As I said, like I didn't think that phrase was as common. I mean, and I don't think it's as common as like. Once again, I think they did an incredible job of casting to have 8 out of 18 people know what a prisoner's dilemma is.
I also feel like if you're around on like strategy games enough, either like Survivor, like the offshoots that are online, people have like played games with like prisoner dilemmas type decisions they have to make even. Maybe.
I played at least once that I'll admit to. And I didn't know. But hey, good on them. Good on them.
So what do we think about this? Because they're talking. Brad is like basically saying I need to steal a vote because I'm in trouble. Sydney is almost in the neutral position of I don't want to lose my vote, so I'll just take the tarp. But Tiffany is the one that interests me because they're all like, well, if you lose your vote, two votes makes a majority. So you obviously wouldn't want to risk it, right? And she's like, well, I'm here to play Survivor, so maybe. And I thought that was so interesting that she's like, was really considering it and then doesn't do it at the end of the day.
Well, that's because she didn't trust Sydney.
Yeah, but it's still an interesting premise to me. And I also think another thing is, one, the two of them now think Tiffany's a little bit wacky.
Shady,
shady, a little like erratic and just, which pretty much I think
not someone I want to play the game with in any kind of swap or merge type.
For sure, and I think everybody on her tribe already thinks that of. Oh,
yes. Well, no, I think her tribe has this thing in their head going, oh wow, Tiffany's the perfect person to take to the end, that's great. And I felt the same way when I played Pearl Islands with Sean, and then like I quickly realized I was like, Yeah, life would be better without Sean, and I'm sure there'll be someone else that everyone dislikes just as much, and I don't have to live with them for 39 days.
Yeah.
Do you think Tiffany's in this game for the long haul? Like, do you think she's going to be going very far, or do you still think there's potential for her to go within the next week or so?
I think she goes sooner than, I mean, like, I think she goes in the next 3 weeks, maybe. I feel that enough people have their pluses and minuses just in life that I think that Tiffany will grate people enough to where it's just like, yeah, she'd be great to carry to the end. However, there's gotta be someone else. And let me just pull the pin on this grenade and let it go.
Well, I think that's a good thing with the 26-day format then.
It's not 26 days is still forever.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it is, but I'm saying maybe you can say to yourself, all right, it's only 26.
I'm not
26.
Saying that to myself.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I'm on the side that I think she is in it for the long haul, because I think she's at least aware enough where she's like, no, kind of knowing what kind of position she's in, so is going to try to play hard. But also the other players are like, oh, she's just going to get a little paranoid every time we go to tribal. But as long as we calm her down, we're fine. So
as long as you agree to do what she wants to do, even if it's the bad play, no way. That's a horrible player to align with.
I didn't say well, I don't think she is, but I think the players are going to do that of, hey, there's no way she wins the game because she changes her mind 9,000 times and then
I won't
be able to take credit for anything.
I think Liana is now saying she didn't get done what she wanted done. And I think Liana is going to take a stand and get what she actually wants the next go around.
Yeah. That's and fair. Yeah. But is it worth alienating Tiffany?
Yeah.
We'll see. Who knows? I mean, genuinely, who knows? But
yeah.
So yeah, basically to recap, I think the first half of the episode up to the challenges, the three of them find that boat advantage. Brad also finds the idol, the three-way idol that Jeannie finds out. And what I find interesting is that, like we had last week of like JD confiding in Shan, Ricard saying, "Oh, Shan's my number one." Who does Brad tell about both of his advantages to? Shan.
Yeah.
Damn. Like, she has a spell on that tribe, it seems.
She has three number ones on that tribe.
Yep.
Yep.
And none of them realize that.
It's really impressive. And when we get to the vote later, I really want to dive deep into this from her perspective because I think it's so interesting. But we get to the immunity challenge, and then we have the whole Brad talking about his pants being baggy, and he's like, you see it in his eyes. He's trying to get the line in there about broccoli being small trees, which also feels perfect for him because his hair looks like that. And then he just messes it up so badly. And then Jeff is like, all right, Xander, why don't you say the line? And it's just like,
I think it made a fun television moment. I like it. I would hate it as a player. I just feel it's so like the statement's so convoluted that it's just a red flag. Whereas I feel that it could be something close, but not that crazy. And, I mean,
yeah,
they've gotten really lucky thus far. But I think the third time Xander says that, it's just like, okay, red flag city.
Yeah.
You know, this is something.
Frankly, I don't know why he said that again, said it again until we saw somebody from Luvu saying it.
Exactly.
Jeff called on him, and I think he just felt inclined to say it. I know he like probably shouldn't have, but I feel like he felt that he needed to. But I have to give him credit. He slipped that in pretty good for a second time.
And yes, but you can't do this again.
I think it's in the verbiage. You have to say it at every challenge.
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure you just have to say it at the same time that the other two people say it.
Okay. I kind of got the feeling that you have to say it every time. And I was just like, oh, even worse.
So, really?
Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully you're right. I don't know.
But
regardless, Xander did about as good as he possibly could on his second go.
For sure. But Johnny, I do want to ask you just from your experience playing, what do you guys talk about on the map before the challenges? Is it all just like asking questions about the challenge and how it logistically works, or is it?
Well, I was about to say, in previous seasons of Survivor, there's not that much chatter. And that's one of the things that Matt and I really like about Australian Survivor is Jonathan LaPaglia has a full discussion with the tribes about, you know, what's the dynamic, you know,
He does.
Yeah. So, and I like that. So I feel we're, even though it's kind of wedged in there just so they can do this other bullshit, you know, I do appreciate it in that we are getting some conversations. But no, typically it's, you know, Jeff does the come on in and he goes, today's challenge, you're going to blah, 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 blah. And he goes, let's get started. And, you know, we all look at each other and do the Scooby-Doo. You know, we have no idea what he said. So then he says it all again, very slowly. And then he picks one representative from each tribe to do a walkthrough, especially if it's a longer challenge. And typically it's the leader of your tribe that goes. And so for the Morgan tribe, it was Andrew Savage. And for the Drake tribe, it was ding, 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 Johnny Fairplay, not fucking Rupert.
Wow.
So, yep.
That must have ate at Rupert every time.
Peek behind the curtain.
Why won't Jeff let me lead the challenge?
Why is it all? It wasn't Jeff asking who wants to go. It was, you know, we would pick as a tribe who would do the walk. And every time it was like Johnny.
Interesting.
Yeah, that first challenge you guys did in Pro Islands looked brutal.
Yeah, well, and Jeff fucked me on that because so we're walking and him and Savage are talking the whole time, they're new BFFs, and I was, you know, third wheel on this fucking blind date. And so I'm purposely not asking anything that I want Savage to hear. So we do the entire walkthrough, we get all the way back, and so I pull Jeff aside and I go, Jeff, can we throw logs behind us, you know, after we pass? And he loudly goes, yes, you can throw logs behind you once. I'm like, thanks, Jeff. Purposely. Purposely did not ask in front of Andrew Savage.
That doesn't sound like Jeff at all, blowing up people's spots like that. No. Never. All right. So not much to talk about with the challenge itself, I don't think.
Oh, yes. JD was definitely trying to show off, and it just
looked, oh, my God. Yeah. So okay. Bad. Right, there we go. Fine.
We did that. There's one little small moment. I just, after the first time it didn't work like that, he decided to do it again.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to be like a basketball player. It's great. I'm like, it's just not a good strategy.
He's not good. Fun. He's so fun. Oh my God. I will say this. Other than Shan, I would have a lot of difficulty voting him out if I were playing with him. So, because I guess we can fast forward to this part when JD gives Shan his steal a vote and says you can hang on to it for safekeeping, you know, as a show of trust. My decision is made right there that JD's gone. I'm taking a steal a vote.
Well, ooh. Here's my question though: do we know if it's non-transferable? Because we've seen that in the past where they can't pass it. They can pass it off, but that person can't use it.
Why can't they use it? If he gives it to you he explicitly says, I'm giving you this as a show of trust to hold on to.
Because that's what happened with the Suri and Sarah Lucina moment.
Yeah.
My thinking is they didn't, and obviously we don't know for sure, they didn't mention it in the rules that we saw.
Okay.
So my thinking, and I also think they learned from Game Changers of, oh, we should let people give these to each other because they all want big move and moment. I would think that Shan at that point could use his extra vote for herself and be like, all right, I want to vote again.
Okay. Well,
if that's the case, then yes, absolutely. Shan should vote JD out. But I was thinking more so if it's non-transferable, then might as well keep him around.
Well, let's just say for argument's sake, Shan goes to production and says, hey, JD gave me this. If I vote out JD, do I get to keep this? And they say, yes, my decision's made. So, because I feel like Brad is just as much in her pocket as JD is.
But it's a matter of what Brad has as well. Because I think it's so interesting that Brad and JD both had advantages at that point. JD's like giving
Brad
it to
Brad wasn't
like,
putting it in Shan's pocket.
Exactly. And that's another reason I almost think you could say to get rid to keep JD and get rid of Brad is, all right, Brad, JD is at least going to show me a sign of trust.
Oh no. I'll get it out of Brad's pocket.
That's fair. I mean,
yeah. If I got it out of JD's pocket, I can get it out of Brad's pocket.
Yeah, because JD was hiding it and got caught. Brad was still coming to Shan with everything. If you have someone that's going to come to you and tell you everything that's going on and everything that's happening, you want them, because the only reason why JD even said something is because they caught him red-handed. He wouldn't have told them otherwise. Sure.
Yeah.
Can I posit one thing that I think that's interesting about this whole scenario? Is when you look at JD, look at who else is in the game. Who else does JD have on his side besides Shan? Pretty much nobody. Like a little bit Ricard.
A little.
Maybe a little bit Brad and Jeannie. And one of them is going to be gone anyway. If you look at Brad, you know he has Jeannie. You know they are a twosome and Shan is at best third or maybe even with Jeannie.
I think so she's ahead, but I think Jeannie just happened to catch Brad finding that idol. I think Shan's ahead.
Because we said that Brad was her closest ally, but Brad, we never heard Brad say that Jeannie was his closest ally.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
No, I thought he said
that was Jeannie's confessional.
No, I'm saying, but I thought he said as well.
I thought he said that Shan was his number one.
But either way, I think the fact of there's a chance that who's more likely to defect from you in this case. And I think you could say, oh, it's probably the person who clearly has a close ally besides me, and that when that being Brad. But I mean, they're both very erratic and hard to play with, so I understand the dilemma she was facing.
But I think Shan could talk Brad into getting rid of Jeannie.
Yeah, that's my thing. That's another move I think you could have done. And thank you for bringing that up, Johnny, because I really want to get there. You take out Jeannie. Ricard is very happy. JD is happy because he's still in the game. Brad is happy because he's still in the game. Yes, he's a little sad that he's lost Jeannie, but I think you can smooth that over with him. And then you have Brad to yourself. You really have Ricard to yourself, and you have JD to yourself with JD's extra vote.
Yeah,
that to me would have been the play. And I think maybe she has a relationship with Jeannie that we don't know about. But if she could
instead we get to, you know, read the words beware for 15 minutes.
Oh, yes.
So that's much more important than knowing what Jeannie's relationship is with everyone else.
Right. Yeah, because this was the first time we even really heard where Jeannie felt she stood with other people in the tribe. Because I never really knew who Jeannie's closest ally was.
Yeah.
She never got a confessional about it.
Yeah. So, no, as I said, I'm sorry, Matt. I'm disagreeing. I like Jeannie. I think Jeannie's fun.
Yeah, she is so much fun.
Jeannie's like like the bully sidekick in a cartoon. And I'm for it. I would love to have a bully sidekick.
But now I think that the bully is gone, proverbially, Brad. Do you think she becomes like out for vengeance? What's her play now? Because I think she was just not involved in this vote at all. Like completely blindsided, voted for JD. So she's now cast votes for JD and Ricard. And Shan probably is more closely aligned with them than they are her. So
I think Jeannie's odd man out. And I think Jeannie just does the quiet game until, you know, some kind of swap.
Yeah.
Or goes home. If they lose.
What if you're in her position right now, what's your play?
Just play nice.
Is that gonna get you anywhere?
Until you have a new group to work with, yes.
You're
proven odd man out. So the best thing you can do is just sit back, shut, like on Australian Survivor 2018, you know, we saw Brian make his move early and Matt Rogers called him, and like, you know, we're a few episodes into the merge now, you know, on our coverage at adfreensfw.com. If you'd like to become a patron, go to adfreensfw.com and you can watch along with us each and every week. We watch a new episode and then do a podcast about it afterwards. And we've seen like since the merge that there are like these little mini alliances taking big shots. and none of them are approaching Brian because Brian got caught. And so, you know, he just has tunnel vision of just, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. Don't look over here to try to do anything wrong. I'm just going to keep my head down until it's time to do something right.
I agree with you because look at this. Jeannie can see that JD has already messed up so many times. So I would just wait for JD to make another mistake. And then they're going to question again. All right, can we actually fully trust JD? Because maybe Jeannie's more trustworthy.
Yeah, this is like the eighth time JD has put his foot in his mouth.
For sure. I think that's part of it. But I also think with how fast this game is going, the waiting isn't maybe your best idea. I think at least she should be trying, I think, to get in good with Shan and get in good with even Ricard, I think, as best you can. Because I think she can smooth things over with Ricard saying, hey, I voted for you because I didn't have a relationship with you and I didn't want to go home if the shot in the dark was played. Smooth that over. And I think she knows that Ricard already had a little bit of distrust with JD earlier. I think if she can capitalize that, her and Ricard could make something out of nothing. I don't think it happens, but I think that's probably her best play. That, and like you said, playing nice and just trying to skate by.
Yep. So Nasir.
Yes. Oh, let's get to Nasir. Yes.
Nasir didn't look that great. Episode one, potential problems. Episode two, we can't live without Nasir. This guy is the best. There is no this, give the guy the $1 million. It is game over. He is the most popular guy in the blue tribe. He's going to win everyone else over as well. There's nothing that can happen bad in Nasir's life until the beginning of episode three.
Oh my yeah, God. When that conversation with Sydney about getting rid of Danny, and then Sydney went right to them. She had no issue doing
in front of him.
Oh my God.
No issue. Like, he's sitting in the background. Yes.
We're here talking about you.
Just wait. What I find interesting is that we've had everything about Nasir from the perspective of Sydney every episode. And I'm like, I wait till we get to the ratings for Sydney because I am not very kind to Sydney. I think this is just not very good. The way she's playing.
Preview for the next episode doesn't look well for her, but
either way,
Sydney can do no wrong with me. When she finds that advantage and she walks off and half her butt cheeks hanging out, oh, I was like, I'm giving you $500,000 right now. You want to play for the other half? Let's go.
Oh, Johnny. Yes,
I watch the show very differently than most.
And that's why we love you.
Yeah, thank you.
That's what you do. But the thing about it is I think Sydney's just a bold player. She's a little bit outspoken. She's not afraid to spill the beans. If she thinks it's going to benefit her, will it benefit her? We'll see. I am kind of thinking it's not going to. I think if anyone goes and gets close with Nasir, Nasir goes, you know what? I'm going to flip the script and try and get rid of Sydney if I get that opportunity. But I still think their tribe's going to keep winning until the merge, because I don't actually think they're going to swap.
No, I don't either.
So I will say this. I think Tiffany's one of the cool kids. I think Tiffany's been one of the cool kids most of her life. And she identifies the other cool kids. And she's like, I'm on a tribe with a bunch of cool kids.
Yeah.
And I have their ear and they have mine.
I mean, if you look at with Sydney's, like, look at her social media, she's very confident, for lack of a better word, about herself. Very, very.
I need to follow her. I usually, before the season starts, I go on. I was just so worried about seeing stuff. I don't know if this is out there. So before episode two aired, that Tuesday night, the episode airs on, you know, Wednesday night, as we all know in America. On Tuesday night, CBS sent the castaways, they're called assets. They're like, here's your assets. Here's pictures of you from the upcoming episode to use for your social media. And here's a video to use as the preview for the episode. On Tuesday night, they sent out the assets, and it was the assets for episode three.
Oh, how did you hear about this?
Rumor and innuendo. And apparently one of them contacted CBS and said, hey, I think this is the wrong one. They said, no, we know what we're doing. And then Wednesday morning, stop. It is not the right one.
I mean, they released the entire episode. Wednesday morning. I watched it Wednesday, episode two, Wednesday morning. I was like, huh.
It was a shit show from start to finish. So yeah, Hulu and YouTube both did an early release.
Yeah,
and CBS sent the preview for episode three, which was a spoiler of what happened on episode two. For the castaways to put out.
That's amazing.
That was glorious. That was glorious. And then this week I have to watch it late at night, and I'm like, I liked my 9 a.m. Survivor viewing. Yeah. Eating breakfast, I'm just like, oh, this is great.
If only my life was a little different 2 weeks ago, so it's all great now.
Yeah. All right. I know it's a little early, but do we want to go into these ratings? I mean, I don't have much else from this episode because there wasn't much besides the stupid advantages.
No. I mean, I don't want to do the ratings, so I'll leave that to you guys. But I will take a couple questions.
Yes.
We have a couple questions for you.
I do actually want to talk about one thing before we get there really quickly. So when they're at Tribal, Jeff is talking this whole season, new era, look what we're doing. The first question is, what's the newspaper headline? Half these people haven't even read a newspaper in their damn life, I bet. And the audience they're targeting – probably haven't either.
Like, they still have newspaper. People know what a newspaper is.
I mean, they know what it is. I'm not saying they don't know.
I mean, if JD knows what a newspaper is, everyone knows a newspaper.
I mean, of course they know it, but I mean, like, have they actually really read one? I mean, the only reason I ever read one as a kid was because my grandma got them, and I would like look at it with her.
I had a paper out.
There you go. But I mean, it's just so funny. It's like new era. We're moving into the future. Let's go back a couple decades. To the newspaper.
Well, I mean, you know, how weird would it have been? You know, what's the TMZ headlines for?
Yeah,
that would have been a bit awkward.
I mean, that's Jeff doing Jeff's thing, though.
So I know.
He's trying to bring television to us, and I don't know.
Yeah, this whole Tribal was a little weird for me. So we don't get the Jeff fourth wall thing, thank God. We get the newspaper bit. Yeah. The only interesting part to me. Was Ricard talking about, like, at this point, valuing trust over challenges, which I agree with him on, and then talking about, oh, yeah, someone has been lying to me, and that person is Genie, and Genie just being like, well, yeah, I voted for him, but I spelled his name right.
Yeah. So, well, no, he calls her out. She spelled my
name.
So.
Yeah, I like that. I like that you acknowledge that, but she's like...
I love, for those of you wondering, I love Ricard.
Oh, I love him, too. Nice. Johnny, send me one of those.
Well, this doesn't have a signature on it yet.
Once you get one.
Oh, there we go. All right, so let's take a couple questions. Mr. TNA 2005, greetings from the great country of Romania. Hi, Mr. TNA 2005. I was in TNA in 2005, I think. I don't know. Anyway, question for Johnny. If he was in Shan's place, were you taking Brad with him to the end or voting him out soon? To the end is a bit extreme. So, JD would have been my pick. With that, with clarification that I could keep the steal a vote, I would literally steal the vote and send JD packing. For sure. But my daughter would have been very upset with me because he's such good television.
All right. We'd got one from the patron Facebook group that really caught my eye from Jay Stahl. He says, Johnny, who do you think is playing the most fair play-esque game so far?
I think that's Ricard. I think Ricard and Shan on different levels. I mean, I think they're both kind of villainy to me, but I feel Ricard plays more of a logic based game than Shan does. You know, Shan will tell you that, you know, she does, her heart does come into play when making decisions. However, I think a 2021 version of Johnny Fairplay is a little different than a 2003 version of Johnny Fairplay. You know, at the time I was, you know, a single bachelor, and now I have a 13-year-old and a 4-year-old, you know, so I think your thinking is different, you know, with maturity.
For sure.
So, yeah. But I think Ricard is very, very comparable to me in a lot of ways. And Ricard's kind of a stud at challenges where, you know, I was secretly, I finished near the top almost on almost every single challenge and purposely didn't win, you know, a lot because, you know, whether I won it or not, I enjoyed the fruits of labors. I mean, you know, I was, you know, when it was individual immunities, I was helping Burton won to beat Colby's record for individual immunity. So I was trying to help Burton win because Burton with immunity, I felt was me with immunity. And then on rewards, you know, where I, as many as I wanted to win and I won plenty, you know, if I didn't, they took me. So, you know,
or you just pretended your grandma was dead.
Either. So, but in the history of the show, not one single player in a single season has enjoyed more rewards than me ever in the history of the show. So, I want to
add something about Shan though, because you were talking about how I think she can have that little bit of a villain factor in her. You definitely can see the emotion that she's feeling in her eyes when she's talking to people, but she comes across to me as someone that's not going to be afraid to pull the trigger when the trigger needs to be pulled.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. I according to rumor and innuendo, Shan not a fan of the music, whereas I was insanely jealous. I mean, like, you know, I created the character Johnny Fairplay. I created the F and the Y and the Fairplay in between. And, I created all these branding things, you know, that for me, were larger than the show and something I could use the show for and get that villain at it and get the perks that come along with all that. And I wasn't smart enough to come up with my own theme music, and Shan did. And as I said, according to rumor and innuendo, she's not a fan.
What's so tough with this season, I think with Modern Survivor as a whole, is they're casting people who are so likable and so kind and like want to play the game. So we really don't have a villain. So it's like hard to compare somebody to you, Johnny, with all due respect, because none of them really are the villain. The closest person to a villain is maybe Sydney so far, in my book.
I like her.
I mean, I do. I like her too.
I think Ricardo's villain. The looks and glares. Go back. Like, oh, I would just stare at Rupert and be like, ugh. Like everything about you disgusts me. Everything. You're. You know how great you are compared to all of us.
Then Johnny, I'm the best. Right?
My island. My adventure. I mean, it's just like, oh, you know, and then whenever Lil would just talk, I'm like, oh, so no, I think Ricard has the looks and the smirks, and I'm here for all of them.
Johnny, what do you mean you don't like when I talk? I'm so nice.
Nope. I do think a villain's going to come out. I don't think anyone has fully done it yet, but I definitely think some people are on the season noting that, hey, I'm going to pull this big crazy move and I might come across as a villain for doing it and own it and love it.
Well, we shall see. I mean, I could see Ricard doing something like that to an extent. I could maybe see even Evie trying something like that, frankly. But Shan is a bit tough because I think Shan cares. Like, obviously, they all care about each other, I think, but we're seeing even in this episode, Shan is wavering so much back and forth with the two tribals she's gone to. And fair enough, she's had tough, tough decisions. But I feel like if you're talking villain, I think she's just like, no, I'm going to cut this person. I'm going to like it. And she, with all respect, isn't that. She's a great player, I think, but that's not the game we're seeing. So I definitely think over Ricard or Sydney are closer to the fair play S game, but I don't think any of them are close to you yet.
Yeah. So Bob Wright says there are winners at it happening yet. I feel like of the early spotlighted players, I feel like it's Ricard, Shan, Evie, and Nasir are the four people that have. And Nasir is not like the. I think JD's in there, but I think. I feel like one of those is going to be like a mid-season edit, and the others are here for the long haul. So and hopefully it's, you know, hopefully JD is a whole season thing, because as I said, I'm here for good TV, and I think JD's great television.
Well, you know what I think we could be seeing at this point, thinking back to HHH a little bit, where we had one tribe, the healer tribe, completely dominating, and at the merge, they had all six of them there. And then you had the heroes and hustlers at smaller numbers, but their smaller numbers combined beat the bigger tribe. I think we could see that here as Luvu, Yase, Yasa, and Uwa continue to lose. And I think they both could lose one more challenge. At least Yasa almost certainly will. They could be at a point where they're at like three and four, or 3-3, and Luvu's at 5 or 6. And they could all just try to take out the Luvu people one by one. And I could, with the almost lack of an edit they're all getting, with the exceptions of Sydney and Nasir, I think you could just see them being picked off. Maybe not one by one, but pretty close to that early merge, because Eric has got nothing. Heather's got literally nothing.
Yeah.
In 3 weeks.
For it.
Yeah. I think Luvu is going to self-destruct themselves.
Yeah.
Even so, when you do get to the merge, I think some of them are going to be really antsy to vote one another out. And I think we could see that happening, where if someone came to them with a plan of wanting to get rid of so-and-so from their original tribe, I think some of them would be all for it.
Yeah. And then they just pick them off afterwards.
Right.
What if they do actually throw the challenge? Because we see in the preview for the next episode, Deshaun is approaching people about throwing the next immunity challenge. Danny doesn't like it. He's like,
I've thrown a challenge.
I'm an athlete. What do you think? Should they and will they are my two questions for the both of you.
I wish I'd thrown a challenge before we did. So I was very happy to throw a challenge.
Would you have still gotten rid of the same person if you threw a challenge earlier than you guys did?
No. Speaking with Burton on the Patreon, the smart move would have been to lose one of the early challenges, if not the first. Like, the first one was so mentally exhausting, but it did give us some momentum. So maybe the second challenge, lose Sandra right at the gate, and then we have the advantage going into the next few challenges, just strength and power wise.
How is Survivor different if we lose Sandra Diaz Twine in episode 2 of Survivor Paralympics? That is,
I don't know. Ask Australian Survivor; they can answer probably better than I could.
Well, they have they're going to have to deal with Sandra now, so we'll see how that goes.
Australian Survivor, they didn't listen to your pitch that you and Wendell did with having the tribes where it's half U.S. versus half Australian.
I think we're working our way there.
I would love it. I hope that they do that in a future season. I think it would be amazing. The crossover would be incredible, and so many people would tune in for it.
Yeah. I think step one was adding Australian Survivor to Paramount Plus, to introduce the larger audience. So I think we're doing baby steps.
I think,
but you would want to go over there and play their game, correct?
Yeah. I want to play with Jono.
I do think if they did it, they would have the Australian group come to the U.S. because they think
we don't need them, they need us.
I agree,
and, but in their head, and they're wrong, they don't need us either, but
they don't.
I think we're too arrogant that we don't need them.
I almost think Jeff would want to do it because then he could be like, look, no. I'm the boss of the international players now. I could see that.
I don't know. I got the opposite. I think we're too big because they're Australian Survivor, we're Survivor.
I mean, that's fair.
We're not U.S. Survivor. We're Survivor.
Yep.
We're bigger than them.
I think that would be also interesting because if you go over there, you could have a decent amount of the players be like, oh, if I go over there, maybe Jeff won't call me back again. And how many of them think that? Obviously, you don't. I don't care.
But no, I do care. But I think you could go there and come back. Like, I got asked to do Surreal Life back in the day. And back in the day was, when you did Surreal Life, like, that was the last check you cash in reality. Like, that was on your way out the door. And I'm just like, well, I ain't done, so I ain't going. So, but then it turned into, you do Surreal Life, you get your own spinoff. I'm like, hey, whoa, wait a second, I'm over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you went over there and played, that they would have people come back again on the U.S. side 100%. Yeah. And
I think we're going to get, just like the challenge is doing, I think we're going to get some returnee stuff on Paramount Plus.
The only other thing, too, is you would, from the U.S. Survivor standpoint, your tribe would need to be a little stacked in terms of physicality as well.
That's why Wendell and I cast the cast that we did. I mean, I got Tommy Sheehan. Mm-hmm. I got Wendell. I got Sari. I got Sydney from Karong.
Yes.
Who else? I had some stronger players, and then me. So I snuck in me I don't even know who my Australian equivalent is. Like, I thought it was Dirty Harry, and then I talked to him, and he's 6'2" and 220 pounds. I'm like, nope. So, but Shawnee's U.S. equivalent is Sri, so I want that matchup there.
Ooh.
Great matchup. That would be awesome.
So, yeah. All right.
Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't have a. I mean, I guess the Golden God. Just, you know, me and him.
you win a winner. Nice. yeah. What I also found interesting with the tribals, JD is like, so yeah. There's like, it's like we all have crystals, and I dropped all of your crystals, but none of you. I hope none of you drop mine. Is that almost like? Do you think that helps him in almost admitting, continuously admitting and almost reminding people, hey, I screwed up. Now, please don't screw me over, even though I like tried to screw you over. Or would you want to be more like never mention my mistakes and hopefully they forget about it?
I think it works for his game.
Okay.
So like, you know, Mr. TNA 2005 writes, we saw JD playing like a rookie. What would be Johnny's advice for the first 5 days of playing Survivor? So it's a case by case basis. So like, with me, I'm not tugging on heartstrings this early, so because I would like to believe that I would be in a more of a power position than you know, playing on my heels. So, but with JD, you know, he's younger than the show, you know, he's young and dumb because, you know, when we're young and dumb, we make mistakes. That's what we do. That maturity is a word for a reason, because you gain wisdom. And, you know, and JD's not there with wisdom yet because, you know, he's 20 years old. I get it. So, but no, I for JD that and as I said, for everyone, it's a case by case basis on what you play. So, you know, with me, I'm making big moves early. That's my game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm coming out guns blazing. So, you know, that might have been on JD's checklist of things to do. But he's definitely playing on his heels, and playing on his heels, he knows that there's a sympathy to him. I mean, as I said, I don't know how great he would be with my game, but I would have difficulty, you know, other than him putting that steal a vote in my pocket, I would have trouble getting rid of JD. Like JD as a dad, you know, I see him and as a son, I'm just like, well, I don't want to get rid of my son. Like, I would hope that my son would make mistakes, because that means you're experiencing life.
Yeah.
So I think that speech, you know, as stupid as it was, I thought was great, you know, for JD.
And I also think that's why Shan gravitates so much to JD. And so I just think if JD didn't have a Shan, JD would be very much in trouble, because I think Ricard would do what is best for Ricard.
Ricard's doing what's best for Ricard, and I don't think that Brad has the patience for JD. which is weird, because what Brad has like four kids, you would think that paternal instinct would take over, but he's just like, no. So, but I don't think Brad was made for Survivor. God bless him. I think he's great in so many ways, but I don't think Survivor's his game. I don't know what his game is. I want to watch it, whatever it is. So, you know, maybe it's Squid Game.
Maybe it's Tough as Nails.
I think more Squid Game is what I would like to see.
Oh, I want to see him more on Squid Game, but I think if you're talking about what game could Brad like do well in, it's probably Tough as Nails.
Oh yeah, I don't think he would do well. You know what? He might do really good because he's very fast. He can run all the way to the water and then all the way back. So red light, green light. My money's on Brad.
Oh yeah. Oh,
bro. I just don't know if he can stop though. That's my thing. Can he stop at the right time?
I can't stop talking at the right time, but maybe the rest.
So. Lauren, what would you throw the challenge if you were Luvu next? And
I'm too much of a competitor, so if I was ever playing the game, I would not throw a challenge. I just couldn't do it. I know some people have to like put that in the back burner and be able to do it. But I just know how my personality is. I could never throw a challenge. And I mean, Johnny even knows. Johnny's scared of me sometimes. So he knows I wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. But I would not throw a challenge without other people. Like, I would put it out there that it's just like, hey, this is potentially the best move. You know, it is a three tribe season. There is more than likely going to be some kind of swap or something before the merge. Just a hunch. And maybe I'm wrong, but if that's the case, let's trim the fat. Let's go. And let's do a majority decision. So Lauren, your vote would be no, but I would like to think that I could convince, you know, three other people to say yes. And it's like, Lauren, against your will, like, don't fuck this up for us, but we understand your stance. We respect your decision, but we're moving forward. And hopefully the tribe is stronger. And just know that our alliance is even stronger and tighter because of it.
Well, and I can agree with that. As long as I would never be the one that would push for it. If someone else is pushing for it, that's great, because you just don't want to be Drew Christie at the end of the day and get it all turned on you and you be the one going out the door.
Yeah, I mean, you're also not going to play as bad as Drew Christie, hopefully, as well. Because, yeah, him throwing the challenge was one thing, but the way he handled everything coming back from camp is what ultimately got him sent home, because he's an idiot.
I don't remember Drew Christie.
San Juan Doser.
How can you not? He's like, that's
again. I don't remember San Juan Doser.
he was on the tribe with like Natalie Anderson and Jeremy and Keith Nail.
Too. Yeah, remember it. I remember all three of them. Do not remember Drew.
It was their tribe kept winning. And then the fourth episode, Drew was like, you know what? I want to lose. Who did he want to get rid of? Oh, he wanted to get rid of Wentworth.
Yeah, he wanted to get
rid of Wentworth.
How that
so worked through the challenge, and he was miserable at it. Didn't tell anybody. And then they're all like, no, we'll just get rid of you.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't remember him. So there we go. I don't think we're friends on Facebook.
Well, and then see, that's the good thing. See, he made it further than Brad did, or maybe went out the same booth as Brad.
Same.
We're going to remember Brad, unlike Drew Christie. The only reason why I know that is because I'm just a crazy super fan.
Yeah. Well, I think you remember Drew Christie for how bad he was, but fair. That's fair. We did get one more question for you, Johnny, if you have time.
Okay. One more question. Then don't forget to get our commercials.
Oh, yes. Yes. All right. From Connor Mack in the Patreon group, he says, Johnny, do you think the 26-day game has to do with the feeling of advantage overload, or is it just the new era? It's confusing me.
I don't, as I said, I really don't feel like 26 days changes anything for me. As I said, that third day we did nothing. So no, it's just advantage. I don't need all these advantage. I mean, as I said, if you are worried about the strength of the cast, then I'm all for it. But there is no way. I mean, and how about this? Let's say I have this cast and I feel very confident that this is a great cast. And then, you know, like, 5 days in, I'm not getting what I thought I was going to get, then throw that shit in there. But if you're getting gold without that, it's just like, hey, we're good. This is why we cast the people that we did, because they're storytellers and they're competitors and they're emotional and they're sympathetic and they're hateable. You know, there's all these things that drive television.
I still don't know why production doesn't at least say, hey, we did a good job casting. Let's let them play the game that we know and love for 20 years. I get the, like, oh, keep things fresh, keep things interesting.
Well, but, sometimes you get a dud. I mean, like, you know, there's many players that they're just like, oh, my God, this is going to be the next Boston Rob, or this is going to be the next Johnny. And they're just like, oh, my God, Cole Metter sucks.
I mean, and oh, remember JP?
Which one?
Yeah, here's the thing. I think you can figure that out pretty quickly. Like once the show starts rolling,
exactly. Hey, as I said, like day three, it's just like, all right, wishful thinking. We all had the best intentions. Throw some fucking reward. Throw some beware advantages at people's feet. I get it, but that's not what you got.
No, they've got gold. Like, why don't you at least trust your own department a little? Because if you gave a different group of people who are all fans who all want to be there, just the pure game of Survivor, maybe there's like a couple idols, whatever, they're going to go ballistic. They're still going to play the game super, super hard, lying to each other back
in 26 days.
You're going to get new things no matter what.
Yeah. These people are living in fear of 26 days, not knowing that it's no fucking different than the game I played.
Well, and then also factor in too, even if you have less advantages and all that, there's still going to be the paranoia out there that there's more and people are going to be looking or constantly thinking, oh, does this person have something? Does that person have something? Which is going to impact tribal council.
Survivor Co. wrong in a nutshell. Not a single idol played, but the thought and concern over the idol haunted everybody. And it made the game so fun.
And that was, I thought that was a great season. I mean,
it like, was.
It may not have been the winner that they wanted, but I think it's the winner we appreciate.
Yes.
All right. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, please become a patron. Try it for 1 month. If you don't like it, I'll send your money back. No one is being held hostage at adfreensfw.com. You get invited to our secret Patreon group, which is on Facebook, which is really awesome. We watch an episode of Australian Survivor each week. We do a podcast each week. There's the weekly Q&A, which is my favorite podcast, each and every week. And I don't think I've missed one in 3 years, or maybe one in 3 years. Actually, I don't even think we missed a Q&A. I think we got anyway. So it's incredible. As I said, try it for 1 month. We also have that there's different tiers. One of the tiers is the Outcast tier, and there are pictures this month are Mary from Micronesia, Nyanka, and then from the challenge, Casey and Nani. So check that out at adfreensfw.com. Try it for 1 month. Also, I have plenty of new t-shirts at johnnyfairplay.com. We have the Immunity Bong t-shirt. We have lots of your favorite players. We have me. We have lots of fun stuff. Go to johnnyfairplay.com. No H and Johnny t-shirts at johnnyfairplay.com. Check that out. And of course, you know, check out our sponsors. And as far as the post-show recap podcast that comes on every Wednesday night right after the episode, East Coast time, 9:05 Eastern, I will be on the show this week.
Yay!
I am not anywhere. Woo. So as far as upcoming shows, I have a few to announce. Probably I'll announce next week on the podcast, but I can say this. October 25th, I'll be at Worcester, Mass. At Rascals Club in Worcester, Mass. Get your tickets right now at SurvivorTix.com. That's SurvivorTix.com. Join me Wednesday, October 25th in Worcester. And then that Saturday night, I will also be at Rascals DJing for their big Halloween event. So I will be in Worcester, Mass. I'll have surprise castaways as I always do. Spoiler, Brett LaBelle's one. Get ready.
Yeah.
So go to SurvivorTix.com. And man, you guys are kicking. I was listening to you guys with Brett last week. Listening to the first podcast the week before that. Loving the deep dive stuff. Keep it up. I'm so happy to finally talk Survivor. It's taken me 3 weeks, but I'm here. I'm loving it. And keep doing what you're doing. And I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Thanks so much, Johnny. It was awesome to hear your perspective on Survivor this week.
Awesome. So, hey, quick commercial, and then you guys come back with the ratings.
All right.
Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary, the girls like to dress inviting, and as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4,000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4,000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny, permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream, a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.
All right. Well, thank you, Johnny, for those ads. And let's thank Johnny again for coming. But Lauren, are you ready to rate all of these lovely, lovely people?
I'm ready to talk about everyone. Not that we haven't already talked about them enough, because I just want to go back to the cast is so amazing. I am in love with each and every one of them. And I just want to see a little bit more from some of the people we haven't gotten much from, because I'm sure they can deliver as well.
Oh, 100%. All right. So let's start with the tribe that won. that hasn't gotten much to talk about. It's good old Luvu. Starting with Danny, I gave Danny a 6. I dropped him from the 7 I had him at last week for the only reason of he's at least on people's radar of target. Like, I know Nasir doesn't have a ton of power right now, but the fact that Danny's on his radar at all isn't the best sign, but I still think he's in a good position, relatively good position. We don't have much from otherwise, so that's why I'm at a 6 for him. What say you, Lauren?
So I have Danny at a 7 because he has someone in Sydney that was fully transparent with him, came to him with information that Nasir dropped Danny's name, so therefore making Danny suspicious of Nasir. And I do think the tables could eventually get turned if Danny has a conversation with Nasir and they say, you know what, let's go for Sydney instead. So I think Danny sits in an okay spot, even though his name was dropped by somebody.
For sure. I completely agree with you there. Let's go to the person that I think is in the best spot of anybody on this tribe, actually. And that is Deshaun. You want to start with Deshaun, Lauren?
Yeah, Deshaun gets an 8 from me. Ooh. I think we didn't see much, obviously, from their tribe or anything, but just Deshaun is somebody that people seem to want to work with and seem to trust. And I think Deshaun is going to bide his time and figure out who he wants to fully align with and be in their corner. And I think he's going to be a good player to watch out for. We just haven't seen enough from this tribe to fully know, but I don't think he would be the first person to be targeted at all. I think there's at least 3 people well below Deshaun, and we'll get to those people, but he's sitting in a great spot.
Okay. I gave him the highest rating of anybody on this tribe, and that was a 7 for me. I can't give him an 8 yet because I don't think he's playing a great game without going to tribal ones. I don't really know what he's made of yet to really give him an 8 or a 9. I think the thing wanting to throw the challenge next, if he really broaches that subject, it really comes down to the reception from the tribe, who he tells, who finds out about it, how sly is he with it, and does he get his way? Does he get the challenge thrown? And if it does, do they get out whoever he wants to get out? I think there's so many variables at play where his game, I think, right now is very good, but this move could either strengthen it or just plummet it to the ground. So that's where I'm at a 7 with him. I have a lot of hopes for him. I think he can be great. He's one of my preseason favorites, and with good reason, clearly. But I'm still not sure yet.
Yeah, I think for me, what I take into account when I do the ratings, I don't pay attention to next time on Survivor. I'm more so basing on what I saw in this particular episode, and that's where my 8 comes from more so.
That's fair. I typically don't as much, and but when we didn't get anything from him and we see him clearly saying, I want to throw the next challenge, I think it's worth bringing up. It didn't change my score on him, really. But it's interesting, to say the least. All right. Let's go to the person who had nothing again. I think she has the second least amount of confessionals in the season, if not the least, with good old Erica. I mean, she's still at a 5 for me. I have nothing.
Yeah, there's not much to say. It's a 5 for me as well. We don't know who she's even aligned with or anything, so you can't give her anything more or less because we just don't know anything.
Yeah, she's like in the majority of 5, so I guess like good on her, it seems, but again, we don't know. All right, the other person we have nothing from, but it's good old Heather. Same here for me. I have her also at a 5. What say you?
Yeah, same. Still have Heather and a 5. The only good thing that we do see is that Heather and Erica are part of the conversations, so they're at least mixing and mingling with people in their tribe.
Yeah, and I think if we go back to the secret scene that we got last week with Heather trying to target Sydney, I think, and maybe Erica has ideas too, but I think we're seeing that Heather is aware of maybe the position that she's in of like, hey, I'm by far the oldest person on this tribe. I may be an easy boot, so let me try to put it on somebody else and lowering my threat level at the same time with the whole saying she had a dream and saying that that Sydney stole her torch in her dream. It was very funny, but I also think can serve to her advantage a little bit, which we shall see. We just talked about the people who got nothing. Let's talk about the 2 people who got everything and have had everything on this tribe, starting with my boy Nasir.
So Nasir's a little bit tough for me at the moment.
A little?
Because it's difficult because last week he looked okay. This week I'm like, ooh, I'm a little worried. I think Nasir picked the wrong person to pitch Danny's name to. I think had he gone to maybe someone such as Erica or Heather, you could have formed a little alliance there. But I think Sydney was just the wrong person because she's going to tell any and everyone what people are saying, and she's not afraid to do so. So that's why I have to give Nasir a 4 for, I think, in my opinion, picking the wrong person to throw a name out to.
That's more than fair. I give Nasir a 3, frankly. He's on the outs, completely on the outs, as of now. When 5 people are talking on a 6-person tribe, you're not there. They're talking about you almost certainly, which isn't good. I give him credit for being self-aware enough to realize that, but it's the, oh crap, I shouldn't have said that after saying it instead of like not saying the thing in the first place. And I don't fully understand why Sydney's the person that he thinks confiding in would work to. Maybe it's the thing of, I feel like Erica and Heather are more like warm to him, whereas Sydney seems more standoffish and like not liking that much. We saw the first episode, she was the one making comments about, oh, Nasir is sketchy. Second episode, it's her saying, oh, he's okay. And I think maybe he's almost trying to oppress her in a way by giving her this info, but completely reading the room wrong there. And I love Nasir, but I could so see him going next. So that's why I'm at a 3 for him. And then on the Luvu tribe, the last person we have is Sydney. And I have a lot to say about Sydney, so I'll let you start, Lauren.
So I'm going to drop Sydney to a 5. I appreciate a lot of things about Sydney. I think she's bold, and I appreciate boldness in a player. She was not afraid to go and grab what she thought was going to be an advantage. She didn't read the beware part, which is a little bit problematic. But she got on the boat, did what she needed to do, and figured out who she thought maybe she could trust from that, where Brad is now gone. And she was saying, I hope Brad got something. So that's not really going to necessarily help her down the road. My thing that scares me is she went and told that information about Danny's name being dropped from Nasir in front of everybody else in the tribe. And I think that should have been a one-on-one conversation that she had with Danny. And we'll see if it works out, because I'm just concerned that Danny could have a conversation with Nasir and then the vote could get flipped on her and she could be the person voted out.
Yeah. I gave Sydney a 4 and I feel generous with that. The only reason I didn't drop her more is because I think Nasir is in a slightly worse position than she is. I didn't like a lot of, I like that Sydney is bold from a character perspective. I think she gives me entertainment. But I think she is way too overconfident right about now. I think her telling everybody what Nasir told her is a sign of overconfidence to me. It's the, oh, this guy is on the outs, let me just bury him. And sure, could it work? Yeah, but then who's going next? Usually the person who's throwing out all the names. Whereas I think, again, missing a golden opportunity to solidify things with Danny. Like, remember in the first episode, she went to Deshaun one-on-one and told him what Nasir said. And that was good. But now it's almost like she's talking just to talk, I think, at this point, and to have fun. And maybe she's bored, not losing at all. And I get it. But it just feels like she's way too erratic for me. And giving her a 4 is generous, because I think if Danny thinks a little through, he can probably pull Nasir over him. Deshaun and Nasir could probably even get Erica and Heather over and be like, all right, let's just get rid of Sydney. She's saying everybody's name. Let's stop this. So she's definitely the second most vulnerable on that tribe for me. And that's why I have rid of 4. All right. You ready to talk about Yasa?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's start with the star of the first 2 episodes. And I don't think got a second in this one. That's Evie.
Well, I'm okay with that, because that's somewhat of a good sign for me. If you see them highlighting episode after episode after episode, I get a little concerned that they're not going to fully make it all the way to the end. So for me personally, Evie sitting right at a 7, solid spot. I feel confident that Evie knows what's going on in the game and has good alliance members right now in Liana and Tiffany.
Yeah, I'm giving Evie an 8 just based on where I had her last week. We didn't get anything from her. She still has really good relationships with all three people left on her tribe, especially even – and then Xander doesn't have a vote, so the women have full control over this. So I think Evie's in a great position. Yeah, maybe a little talking too much, but having their tribe win and I think giving her some downtime can really help her make inroads with the four remaining. And if they get to emerge or even a swap at with four strong at this point, I know that sounds a little weird. I think she can be running the show very well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we get from Evie. All right, let's move on to maybe I probably her tightest ally in Liana. I'm giving Liana a 7 still. I think Liana's is probably truly Evie's number one. And I think when you're the number one of the power player, she essentially Liana is the only person who's right about being Evie's number one, in my opinion. I think that suits her well. I think she's aware of the position she's in. She's trying to play hard. She's aware of like the mistakes she's making in terms of not seeing things or not pushing hard enough, which I like. And I think she's got a sneaky side to her. I really think you let her on her own. Maybe if like at some point she either tries to get Evie out or Evie gets taken out, Liana could make some waves, I think.
Well, that's exactly why I'm giving Liana an 8, because she does have a sneaky side to her. It's we can see it coming out a little bit. And I think Liana is self-aware to know when to cut ties with people. And I think Liana's going to set herself up in a position where she's going to have full control of this game at some point. And that is me just basing off what I see in the episodes thus far. And so I have high hopes for Liana.
Yeah. I mean, she was somebody preseason I liked a lot, but I don't know if I could see winner. I'm getting turned around. I could see Liana impressing a lot of people, even at 20 years old, I think. She can get it past the jury and say, hey, you know what? Give me $1 million because I kicked all your asses and you didn't even see me coming. But somebody who's not really kicking anybody's ass in any way is Tiffany. Tiffany, we saw her find the beware advantage, think of it for a second, open it anyway, and go to fancy Bodie McBoatface Ghost Island and decide to ultimately not risk her vote, which I think good move on her, even though, yeah, she would have gotten the steal vote. But yeah, her gameplay just hasn't been great. She's in, I guess, a decent position, but she's one of the two people on this tribe that could go if they lose, and I don't see them winning much. So she's, for her vulnerability and her lack of power in the game, I'm giving her a 4.
Okay, I'm going with a 5. She is the hot mess that I enjoy also watching.
Oh, I love it.
It's great. I think that the way Tiffany is socially might be able to get her through a couple more rounds because of that. If she wasn't as good as she is talking to people, I think she would be in a lot more trouble than she is mm-hmm. now.
I'm with you there, and I think she is good socially, but I think if this iteration of Yasa goes to tribal again, she's fighting for her life against Xander, and I think she wins that fight. But it will show her, I think if Xander can make any bit of inroads, it might show her, hey, Evie and Liana are tighter with each other than they are with me. Which I think could spell doom for Anaya. Frankly, I don't see her winning the game at this point. I'm looking at like the position she's in now. Yeah, she might go home. Is she winning this game? I don't see it at all. I don't see a way she wins this game, and me giving her a 4. Unfortunately, it's generous, but I hope to see more from her. And then the person who literally has no power on the tribe because he can't do anything right now is our boy Xander. You want to take it away with Xander?
It's exactly why I have Xander sitting at a 4. No power right now. If you don't have a vote, that is extremely problematic because then you can't even tie it at this point in time if they stick to the same tribes that they're currently on right now. However, I think the only thing Xander has working for him is if Tiffany shoot yourself in the foot with being paranoid and worrying about going home. And if Liana wants to make a move to keep Xander in the game, I think she could make it happen. So I think that's his saving grace at the moment.
I think that's his saving grace if Evie is on board with it. Because I think, frankly, he thinks he's in a tight position with Evie, and he might have a good relationship with her. But I think he can't get Liana without getting Evie, in my opinion. And if he gets both of them, he's gone next. Like, I think the only way he survives two votes, and this tribe could lose twice or three times more, is if he's getting Evie out. I don't even think that's on his radar. So I'm giving him a 3. He doesn't have a vote at this point. He might get an idol and then the game turns, but the way he's at, he doesn't have any power. And the three other people on his tribe are tight, and he's not there. So, yeah.
Well, I don't see why that's why I think he has a chance, because you hear Liana in a confessional saying she didn't have what happened, what she wanted on the boat. And I think if Liana has something in Liana's mind and that's keeping Xander, she's the person to probably make it happen.
I think she would try, but you're trying to save somebody who at this point doesn't have a vote. So I think as much as she would try, mathematically, she does need one of the two to get on her side. I don't think she's going against Evie. And maybe tries for Tiffany, but that's the only way I see it. So I think there's there's a shot for Xander, and that's why I'm not dropping him further. But I don't see great prospects for him, and I don't see him being a power player if he gets out of this right now. All right. But going to maybe my favorite tribe, the tribe I am honoring by wearing their buff because they lost, is the good old Ua tribe. And Brad is gone, so I don't have to eviscerate him anymore. But let's start with the good old Genie. We got the woman that Fairplay really likes, the one that Matt Bishop doesn't. How do you feel about Genie, Lauren?
I thought Genie was extremely entertaining at the sit-out bench during the challenge. Great TV. Was totally here for it. Shining moment for Genie. I'm worried for Genie because I think if they lose, Genie's gone. And that's exactly why I am putting Genie at a 4. I hope that's not the case because I enjoy Genie and I'm just highly concerned that she's not going to be able to turn it around, but I hope she can turn it around.
Yeah, at this point, I'm down to a 3 on Genie. I had Genie at a 6 last week. I thought she was in a pretty good position. But now losing her best ally and Brad, who had all these trinkets, not getting any of them, I think is one thing. 2, she wasn't even clued into the vote. So that's already a bad position, just being outnumbered. Ricard doesn't like her flat out. Doesn't think she's good for his game after he literally voted for her. And Shannon JD didn't care enough to tell her, and she just voted for JD. I want to see Genie do something. I just don't know where she can go from here at this point. Unless it's me, maybe getting Ricard on board. But then that's a total task in itself. So I'm sadly dropping Genie all the way down to a 3. Just because she's probably gone if they lose. And they could lose again. But, all right. Let's move on to JD. If we're talking about Yas as the Hot Mess Express tribe, the Hot Mess Express player was Brad. He's gone now that I think JD takes that spot. I don't like a lot of what I saw from JD this episode. I like him personally. He's giving me entertainment. His performance in the challenge sucked. I was trying to be cute. That I think even worse than just doing badly in the challenge, he tried to look good. Jeff called him out for it, and he lost. So none of that bodes well for him. He still has the reputation of being the really smart kid who knows Survivor better than anybody on that tribe, and maybe better than anybody in the game. He has an extra vote that he gave to Shannon as a sign of trust because he got caught. Ricard was literally said, "I'm pissed at you for this." And I don't think Ricard was joking very much. So I think JD's trying to be cute and it's going to blow up in his face. I'm shocked it hasn't already, to be honest with you. So I'm giving JD a 4 for the sole position of he has Shannon on his side. And I think that might be the saving grace of him or Genie, but not much more.
So I have JD sitting at a 5. Couldn't put JD on the same level as Genie because I do think Genie goes at this point in time if that tribe loses again. But JD could be Genie's saving grace because I think JD could screw up again and Ricard and Shan could say, you know what, enough's enough. We have to cut ties with JD and just bring in Genie and hope Genie stays loyal with us. But at the end of the day, you got to give credit to JD. Just phenomenal to watch. Want to be able to see that entertainment. And that's why this cast is so amazing, because even the players that aren't making the correct decisions from our perspective, I mean, JD could think giving the advantage to Shan is going to help him in the game. It very well could. We will find out. So I just am excited to see what happens with this tribe moving forward.
For sure. My issue isn't him giving Shan the advantage so much as it the way he had to. Him getting caught. Like, he even said, me getting caught is the worst possible scenario. And I think what we were talking about with Fair Play earlier, of kind of almost like almost constantly apologizing and being like the child. I mean, it fits him somewhat well, but it's like the kid that you love and you don't want to get rid of him, but it's like, oh God, is he ever going to stop screwing up? And I don't think he's that bad a player, but I think this in the mindset of the others, he's more of a, I don't want to say like a liability, but I think he's more like he's here until he serves no more use for us, and then we're getting rid of him. And if he gets to the end, unless a lot of things change, I think that perception of him as the young stupid 20-year-old is hard to shake. Early perceptions are hard to shake. And if he continues playing this way, he's got no shot to win, flat out none. I have JD at a 4 for the bad gameplay. The only reason he's not lower is because I think Genie's gone next. But JD says the wrong thing, it could easily be him. So, all right. Let's talk about one of the good players on this tribe, I think, and that is Ricard. Why don't you start us off?
Ricard sitting in a great position. I mean, we've talked about Ricard a ton already on this podcast, and I really don't have too much to add to it at all. Ricard, for me, sitting at a solid 7. I am not worried about Ricard. I think Ricard has a very good read on individuals, and I do think that Shan's going to remain in lockstep with him.
That is fair. I think I gave him a 6, and I'm just looking at my notes. The only people you and I have agreed on so far are Herrika and Heather, who have nothing. We gave them 5s for having nothing. Everyone else we are differing on by only a point or two, but I think that's interesting to point out. Ricardo is only at a 6 for me because I think Shan is his number one, and I would say Shan is back and forth on whether he is for. I think if they were tight, almost like a Denise and Malcolm type, I think he would be in a great, great position. I think he's in a good position right now because of that alliance with Shan. He's aligned with the best player, but the other two people, JD, I think, doesn't love him, but is like being nice to him because he wants to stay in the game. And it's been clear there's no love lost between him and Genie at this point. And if Genie gets any hold on the game, who is she trying to target? Probably Ricard. So the fact that I think Ricard is being considered isn't good, but I like a lot of the moves he's making so far, and I think he's got a lot of potential. So he's a 6 for now, but can definitely go up. And then lastly, it's the Mafia Pastor, who may or may not like having her own theme song. It's Shan. I'm keeping Shan at a 7 for the sole reason of she made a pretty good move getting rid of Brad and keeping JD to her side with the extra vote and having maybe a really, really strong ally and having 2 out of 3 people on your tribe be that really, really strong number one ally. My concern is the indecisiveness. And it's not I don't blame her for it, but I want to see her almost be that villain and own those moves that she's making. Cause I think later on in the game, if she's wavering a lot and people see that and see she's not sure of things, whether it is or isn't, she's going to look as if she doesn't have much of a control on the game, even though she really has such a strong control on what's going on in her tribe right now. So that's the reason I'm not higher, but I could so see Shan killing it in this game like she has so far. And that's why I'm at a 7 for her.
I'm also at a 7 for Shan, going to have Shan tied with Ricard for a couple different reasons. First off, love Shan, love the game that she's playing. It's great so far. Everyone comes to her with information and all think that they are in really good with her and that they can fully trust her. My only thing is, and we will see if it affects the game at all, whether she should have kept JD or Brad, because we'll see if JD ends up being a loose cannon. Maybe that could end up tanking her game depending on how far she decides to keep JD in it. So it's going to be interesting to watch that play out if it does become a factor. But overall, I'm not worried about Shan. I think Shan knows exactly what she wants to do in the game, and she's going to be very persistent with it. And so I think she's going far. I don't see her going at all in the next few votes.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you there on that. I think she had a tough position because it's picking which loose cannon do I want to keep in the game and which one do I want to set free. And I guess someone gripe with her in the way she made the decision is not trying to maybe clue Jeannie in, because I think Brad said in exit interviews he had a hunch he was in trouble. I would have just include Jeannie in and say, hey, like, make her feel like she's part of the decision, even if, because I think she could have convinced Jeannie to vote out Brad, and if she doesn't, say, you know what, fine, I'll get rid of JD. And she has Brad and Jeannie as a duo looking at her, where she is the swing vote, and Ricard obviously is almost tied at the hip with her. So there's definitely arguments you can make for both sides. And though I do think getting rid of Brad was the right move for her, there are ways she could have maybe done it better. But I'm looking forward to seeing what we get from her going forward. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what we get from these people going forward. If we get to see them play more, Jeff, please, please stop with all the twists and the trinkets. But I've said enough on that. Lauren, do you have anything to add before we take it home?
No. I like the season. I know, as I said at the beginning, a lot of people are down on it. And I think it's just because of the cast. I get that people are upset about too many advantages and everything. But for me, you have to remember, if we had all these advantages and the cast was not like how they are, we would be very much so in trouble with this season.
Oh, yes. And the fact that the cast is so good, I think, is why I'm a little more down on the season, of just like, no, you have it there and you're not doing it. But I am so with you. The cast is the most important part of Survivor, and they knocked it out of the park, and I'm enjoying what we're getting from them. So I definitely say I'm still enjoying the season. But I just think it's like, oh, this could be like a top tier season, and it's not right now because of everything. But we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see what happens with the three tribes we currently have. Maybe we see something from Lulu eventually. I hope so.
Like, that's the one. That is the one thing I would like to see. Please show me Heather. Please show me Erica. I am sure they're interesting because they were on the season for a reason, and everyone else has been really exciting to watch, and I think that they're able to deliver it because we saw it in a secret scene from Heather. She has something there. Just show me it.
Yes. All right. So before we head out, Lauren, your Twitter is at Lauren_Pratt6, if I'm correct.
That is correct.
All right. I am at Alex M. Rubino. If you want to become a patron of Reality NSFW, that is over at adfreensfw.com. If you want one of the many, many Johnny Fairplay t-shirts, head to johnnyfairplay.com, because then you also get a phone call from Johnny Fairplay, which, if you heard us talking to him today, he's a pretty fun guy to talk to, and you could talk to him really about whatever. He's very much an open, unfiltered.
And he calls you. He really does call you, and he will actually talk to you for quite a long time. So if you ever wanted to talk to him, get a t-shirt.
Yeah. What Survivor player can you have easier access to than him as well? Wednesday night, Johnny Fairplay will be back for the episode 4 after show with Matt Bischoff. And then I know you, Lauren, and our good friend Alex Trias are doing the challenge podcasts every week with Matt and Johnny. And that's it. That's all I got. And we will be back next week. We're still working out a time and a guest, but we'll be back next week no matter what, talking about whatever the hell happens on this crazy season. It's just a crazy season. So yeah, thank you so much for watching. Have a great night, everybody. Bye.